When you need guidance from someone you can truly trust, someone who aligns with your values of sovereignty and natural living, look no further than Dr. Jennifer Tice. Dr. Jen's expertise in homeopathy and naturopathic family care is unmatched. She is my personal go-to when I need an opinion on how to best support my family and myself when we are healing. And something I'm always telling everyone about, Dr. Jen runs a very specific food intolerance test. Having this information has quite literally changed my life once I decided to take it seriously. Knowing what our specific foods were to avoid has radically improved the health of myself and my children. So if you're looking to uplevel your health, head over to drjennifertice.com and you can find her on Instagram at Dr. Jennifer Tice.
Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Women, it is 2025, which means it is time for you to take your place in the sovereign birth movement. I am thrilled to announce that our absolutely groundbreaking, life-changing, consciousness-shifting, super popular program, the Radical Birthkeeper School, is now open for enrollment. This is your chance. We run the Radical Birthkeeper School once a year, so now's the time to jump in. You love this podcast. You're obsessed with birth. You want a better world for women and families. So here it is. I am inviting you to join the 850 women from over 30 countries who have taken this program and now are confidently bringing this work forward, protecting the sacredness of birth, being an option so desperately needed for mothers and babies. From women brand new to birth, to curious mothers pregnant with their first child, to disillusioned midwives and doulas, even OBGYNs and nurses, women are flocking to this new paradigm of birth consciousness, and the Radical Birthkeeper School is the gateway. The RBK School is the place to gain the language and the knowledge to communicate and step into the sovereign birth paradigm with confidence. If you feel the call, answer it by taking your place in the RBK School. Head over to www.radicalbirthkeeperschool.com today to preview the full curriculum, hear from our many graduates, and learn more. Mentorship, sisterhood, lifetime access, the knowledge, wisdom, and guidance you need to take your place in the sovereign birth revolution, all totally unlocked. Be the change. Join us. radicalbirthkeeperschool.com. Every now and then, a product comes along that our entire family can't get enough of. And lately, it's masa chips. Delicious chips made the way food was meant to be. Just three simple ingredients. Organic corn, salt, and beef tallow. No seed oils, no fillers, no ultra-processed garbage. Just real, whole food that nourishes rather than depletes. What we put into our bodies matters. It affects our energy, our mood, our resilience. And yet, the food industry today is completely disconnected from what's real and nourishing. Just like birth, food is one of the most powerful ways to claim sovereignty over our bodies. And it's no surprise that a sovereign birthing family is who makes these chips. When you snack, snack on something real. Go to masachips.com/discount/freebirthsociety and use code FREEBIRTHSOCIETY for 20% off your first order.
All right. Welcome, Mia.
Thanks for having me.
Calling in from New Jersey. How long have you been out there? Are you born and raised?
No, my husband was born and raised here, but I've been here for 2 years now.
And where are you from before that?
North Carolina, Wilmington, right by the beach. Yep.
Oh, okay. I still haven't gone out that way. You know I'm in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's the best.
All right, let's get into it. So who are you before you have this baby? What's your relationship like to birth and to the medical system? And, you know, at what point in your journey, since it is your first birth story, do you start to figure out this thing?
So I fell sick with horrible gut issues when I was a teenager. And so I went to a gastroenterologist. They prescribed me all these pills. And after a while, I just kind of caught on. I was like, none of this is working. Like, why do you keep prescribing new pills? I saw the sheet that they gave me every single time. And it was the same recommendations, like don't eat bananas and avoid spicy food and all of this. So at a very early age, I lost trust in the medical system. And so I stopped going. I was going to college, so I wasn't going to be in North Carolina anymore. I went to University of Miami, but right before that, I got connected with a like homeopathic nutritionist type person. And she absolutely changed my life. I was able to just text her anytime I had a symptom. She actually helped me heal. We had a very personal relationship, and I was like, wow, this is what real healing is about. This is the type of relationship you should have with, you know, someone who's trying to help you. And so that kind of, you know, that was my early phase. And then in high school, people knew I was like always natural minded. I think I attribute this to my mom because she was like super duper hippie tie dye back in the 80s and 90s, all of that. So, I think that was just instilled in me to always lean toward more natural things, like, you know. So then, yeah, people were like, you should watch this documentary, Business of Birth. Mia, you would really like it. And so I watched that. And then I was like, whoa, birth is insanely ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe it. Fast forward many, many years, not many years, like 4 years. And I met a girl who was also a fellow raw milk drinker. So I was like, this girl's got to be cool. And we were touring a farm. It was like a mushroom, like an indoor mushroom farm. And we were just talking about birth. And we're like, yeah, birth is crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally going to do a home birth one day. And she was like, have you heard of Free Birth Society? And I was like, no, what is that? So then I go down the rabbit hole. So I'm like listening to all these stories. I'm totally into it. And a few months later, she comes to visit me up here and we met up in the city. And I just look at her and some energy like hit me. And I was like, holy cow, she's pregnant. Like I just knew out of nowhere. And we weren't even that close, but, and it's funny because both of our boyfriends at the time met online and that's how we ended up meeting. But, and she's from Wilmington, my hometown. Like it was just wild. So I was like, can I please be at your birth? Like I will come to your birth if you want someone there. Like, and I've known this girl for a few months. Okay. And she's like, yeah, come to my birth.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was wild. And you know, at the dinner, she's like, I'm still thinking, I don't know if she's pregnant during the dinner. And then she was like to my husband, you can have my tuna. Like I'm trying to avoid mercury. And I was like, oh, she is pregnant. So yeah, that was fun. So we just chatted throughout her pregnancy. I don't even think I visited her really, except for that one time. And at the time, I think she was like 18 weeks pregnant or something. So I was just like, all right. So I booked a flight. I made it flexible booking. I didn't have a job, so I was flexible with my time. And I was like, okay, we'll see if I'm there for the birth or not. Like, you know, we'd had all of these discussions and I ended up being there for the birth and it was wild. Like it was a psychedelic experience for me. I had to like go sit on the beach after and just like stare at the ocean. I was like, what the heck just happened?
Did she have a sovereign birth?
Yeah, she had free. I mean, I was the only person there, so she had a free birth and her partner was there. So yeah, we had this like crazy experience together. I stayed with her like a week after too, so I was able to see early postpartum, which was really special. I feel like a lot of people don't realize what happens in those first days, and that was like completely mind-boggling to me too. And just I realized how important it was to have someone there to like, I was like feeding her, making her ice cream, helping her with laundry, and you know, just letting her be with her baby. And got to see like when her milk came in and all of that. And so yeah, it was quite special, but yeah, she had a free birth. She had a pretty arduous.
The story is so cute.
Yeah, it was like
your husband's, your boyfriend's, whatever, met online, and then you met her, and you liked raw milk, and then she told you about FBS, and then you went to her free birth. Like that's
yeah,
a cute story.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So then I was like, okay, well, and I happened to be getting married like 2 months after she birthed. So I was like, all right, now you're going to come to my wedding. I'm going to get married and then I'm going to get pregnant right after that. And I'm going to, you know, do the whole wild pregnancy pre-birth thing. And that's exactly what happened. Like I got pregnant immediately. My wedding anniversary is July 15th and my baby's 3 months old. So if you do the math, it was pretty crazy. Then I was pregnant and yeah, I decided I'm going to do wild pregnancy, especially because I had heard all of these stories, didn't trust the medical system, and I watched Natalie do it. So I was like, okay, I know someone who's done it. And of course, everyone thought I was crazy. They're like, you're not going to do ultrasounds, all this stuff. Side note, I also have an Instagram where I talk about like health and fertility and pregnancy and all of that. So I was like posting everything I was doing. And you know, when it's your first baby, like people judge you more. Like they're like, you don't know what you're doing, especially being young. Like being young and this is my first baby and being like public about drinking raw milk, not doing ultrasounds, you know, not hiring a medical person at my birth, all of that. So I did
How was that for you to navigate the public arena with all
yeah,
of that?
Yeah. In the beginning it was hard. And I remember like you know, I had fears in the beginning too. I was like, should I go just get one ultrasound? Like, how do I know, you know, it has its kidneys? And you know, I just wanted to know that it was okay. It was my first time being pregnant. I didn't know what pregnancy felt like. But I just texted some friends and they're like, no, look at these studies. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I was really just like, okay, if I get to the point where like the baby's kicking and I can feel the heartbeat and my intuition is saying everything's fine, then everything's probably fine. And yeah, just hearing online people saying stuff like, I didn't want to do ultrasound too, but then I did and my baby, you know, I found out this and had to get induced and just people telling their stories. I had to like stop looking at comments for a while. And luckily my husband was like very supportive and he was like, just post what you need to post and don't look at what people comment. And so I did that and a lot of people were quite grateful for that information to know that someone else was doing it and that that was a possibility to not engage in the medical system and to be able to drink raw milk and eat oysters and all of that during your pregnancy and drink a little wine or, you know, who knows what.
You're like a normal person doing what you want.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your choice to do a wild pregnancy. Like, why not have a midwife for your first, like all that nonsense? Like what was the real draw? Like I hear you that you've been exposed to the podcast, you were on a health journey, you'd already been totally disenchanted with the system and you saw birth. Like that's so dope. That's such a like you got all the pieces for sure.
Right.
And why not do it the way that you know you're supposed to?
Yeah. I think the real thing was because I ended up kind of healing myself from the IBS. Like I just really trusted myself and my body. And then every time I brought up, should I go do this? Should I go, you know, should we hire a midwife? Should we do something medical? My husband's like, okay, what are you going to do if they tell you your baby has this disease? Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to like go through all the tests and all this stuff? And I was like, no, I wouldn't want to do that. I would just have my baby, you know, or the worst case scenario, if I were to like, if it were to be stillborn, what would I do? I would still want to have my baby at home. So we like went through all the scenarios and it's like, ultimately I'd rather be comfortable. I trust my body. I trust that whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen, you know? And women have been doing this for how long, right? Like that was the thing. My husband kept saying like, women just birth, like it's not a big deal. And me being pregnant, sensitive, and I'm like, oh my God, he doesn't think I'm special. Like, birth is so hard, all this stuff. But looking back, like, that was the best thing ever. Instead of him being like, well, what if this is wrong?
Well,
what if
this is wrong? Well, both are true. Both are true. Women just birth, and it is special, and it is a big deal. It's all at the same time.
Yeah, I think he could agree with that now being in the situation, but you know, beforehand he was just very emotionally detached, not having gone through a birth, but
in kind of a nice way. I mean, keeping it pretty mellow and undramatic, right? Which
yeah.
is, you know, way more chill to orient around for you than, you know, some of these anxious dudes that are super controlling and super.
Yeah, exactly. So looking back, I'm like, thank God he was like that, because he trusted birth, you know, like he verbalized that every time I brought up an issue. He's like, women just birth, like you're just going to birth. So yeah. And
that'd be a great t-shirt. Women just birth, it's going to birth.
Yeah. So yeah, I think ultimately I was just like, okay, well, whatever happens, I'd rather deal with it myself, you know, like I don't want to give over my authority to someone else. I trust myself more than.
Yeah, that's really it, right? Like when women grapple with these things, and many of them will come up with, if something were to happen, I would want someone else to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
I would want someone else. And I think that's a really like, pretty significant difference, right? Like when I imagine if my baby came out and needed some support, the idea of someone else assessing my baby or putting their mouth or an piece of equipment on my baby, it's a no for me. Like it's just such a no.
Yeah.
You know, but it's because I fundamentally believe wholeheartedly that I really actually am the highest likelihood to support my baby.
Right.
So I guess arguably someone else like wouldn't understand that or agree or believe that. And therefore, yes, someone else should take care of my baby. Anyway, I just think it's kind of an interesting point that it does kind of come down to that. Like, yes, of course things may happen, and how would you want it to go? And do you like the idea of handing your baby off and letting someone else deal with that? And like, for me, hard no.
God. Yeah. The other thing for me was like, you know, posting online all this stuff and getting all this lashback and whatnot. I'm like, well, what if it goes right? And then I get to prove those people wrong. You know, that was kind of like a motivator for me, like, okay, well, one day I'm going to share my story and show that you can give birth without medical assessments, you know, like you can be healthy without someone testing your blood glucose level or whatever.
Yeah, but then you're just lucky, Mia.
Yeah, that's another one that I had to go back and reiterate. Oh my gosh, yeah, it's crazy. I like Sam blessed.
Oh yeah, to do this in the public sphere, you know, I just think it requires obviously your own confidence and all of that. And then also that like thick skin would kind of cover the point I'm about to make, but like these people are so brainwashed. They're so,
so brainwashed,
so deeply programmed to hate and not understand and move away from the natural world, you know, and they're so disempowered and they're so confused, right? And that helps me a lot when I receive my stuff, as I do. That's just like, oh yeah, of course you think, like the thing you just said, of course you think that the ultrasound showed something that meant you needed to be induced. Like, I know that makes no sense, but like, you were told that and you don't know any better. Yeah. And that's really scary and, you know, sad for you. But like, I'm in a whole different consciousness. And I talk about this with Yolanda all the time, that when you're in the public arena, like we are, I mean, everyone is nowadays because anyone can have a public Instagram, but at the scale that we are, it's like you're hitting all these different layers of consciousness, and you just have to be prepared to understand that when you throw something out, you're going to hit all the layers. You're going to hit the low consciousness. You're going to hit the plagiarist, you know, consciousness, the copycat consciousness, the troll consciousness. Like, you're going to hit every layer, and it's fine if you know to expect that.
Right.
Have to like rock you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, the whole luck thing, people don't understand, you know, like I've been thinking about this for many years, and I think the biggest thing is that you just have to trust, because, you know, even if I would have gotten medical examinations, maybe I had gestational diabetes and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, my baby, I don't know, had meconium or whatever in the womb and I had no idea. I think that just trusting my body was the best thing for me. Yeah.
Anything else you want to share about your pregnancy and the work of it or the end of it or anything at all?
I mean, I didn't have a perfect pregnancy. Like, I had days where I was throwing up a lot. I had days where, like, for one day I ate stevia on accident and, like, vomited, you know, the entire next day. So definitely didn't have a perfect pregnancy, but I had fears, of course, and like, what if my baby doesn't have a finger or whatever? What if my baby comes out and he's stillborn? But I just kind of sat with those fears. I talked to other women about those fears. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So yeah, it was not easy, but it was simple. Like, I would rather deal with those fears myself than get in the car and drive to some doctor and have him tell me something that's wrong that might not be wrong, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So anything else you want to share before you head into your free birth?
I'm ready. So it's funny because my mom's due date was April 10th for me, and I was born on the 5th, and my sister was also born like a couple days early from her due date. And my due date for my baby was April 10th. So it was like full cycle. It was really cool. So I was like, oh, my baby's going to come early because my mom, her two children came early. That didn't happen. So I hit my due date and I'm thinking, great, I'm going to be pregnant forever. Oh my gosh, what if I do go to 42 weeks? And, you know, start having all the thoughts that you've probably heard a million times. So that night, I had to drop something off at UPS. Like, I ordered the wrong something and had to exchange it. So I'm going on the walk and I felt like I really had to like pee, or just like, I was uncomfortable. I don't know what was happening. So I was like, okay, let me go home and like try to use the bathroom. And as I'm walking home, I got like the contraction that was like, when you know it's the real one, it's the real one. And I was like, oh boy. But then I was like, you know, before I had like all these little things, like I had tons of Braxton Hicks. I had some nights where I was like cramping and like had the diarrhea in the middle of the night or whatever. So I was like, okay, I want to make sure this is real. So I just waited a few minutes and my husband was working from home. So he was just finishing up work. So I just kind of snuck back inside, went to the bathroom, and I was like, okay, I'm going to tell him. So I told him, I was like, Steven, I think I'm going into labor. And he starts freaking out, which is hilarious because he's so like, women give birth, it's whatever, it's not a big deal. And of course, when the moment happens, he's the one that's freaking out. And we had planned on going to church that night, which was always our dream vision for birth. We were like, okay, we're going to go to church. You're going to start labor. There's going to be pretty music. It's going to be dark at night. And then we'll go home, labor a little bit more. And then you'll have the baby in the middle of the night when no one's around. Because we were in an apartment on the first floor. So I was really worried about neighbors and landlords and all this stuff. So we go to church and he was like, well, you know, what if it really starts to pick up and I have, because he was serving in the altar, so he was going to be separate from me. And he was like, what if you have to leave? What if I have to Uber home? All this stuff. And I was like, it's going to be fine. We have like plenty of time. Don't worry. But I was like, well, what if I have to go to the bathroom and then you think I leave and then you freak out? So I was like, we like had this whole discussion. I was like, I'll leave my coat on the pew so you can, you know that I'm still there. But it turned out fine. It was lovely. And, you know, I saw people that knew I was pregnant. And they were like, oh, you're going to have the baby soon. And I'm like, yeah, real soon. And yeah, so it started then. And then we went back home. We decided to watch a TV show because I was like, okay, I need to like chill, you know, and try to sleep. So I need something to relax me. But we're watching the show. I'm having like a contraction here and there. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I need to clean one more dish. There's one dirty dish and it seemed like I need to go clean that right now. So I went and cleaned it. And then
I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to sleep. I think it was like 11 p.m. at this point. And in the moment, it didn't feel like things were like picking up, but looking back, it definitely did. And then I really felt like so uncomfortable. I could just not find a comfortable position. I was like in the bedroom with my like butt up on hands and knees. And then I was like, no, I really have to pee. And then I would try to go sit on the toilet. And then I was like, no, this isn't working. I would get on hands and knees on the floor. And I would just go like back and forth of those three things, like continuously, like nonstop for, I don't know, maybe an hour or two. And then at one point I heard just like a, and I was like, oh, my water broke. But it was literally like the amount that would fit in my palm of liquid. Like it was, it didn't like, I guess it just tore. I don't know. But I was like, I had the story in my head that like once your water breaks, like things really start to pick up. And so I was like, okay, call the birth keeper. Cause we did have birth keeper at our birth. And yeah, I told myself I was going to do it alone unless I found someone that was like totally aligned. And so she came over. Well, she was on the phone. She was like, let me hear her. And I was just like moaning. And so she was like, Steven, feed her water, give her some Jello or something. So I was like, didn't want to drink, didn't want to eat, but I was like, fine. And then I remember putting my hair in a bun and I was still sort of conscious at this point because I was like, it needs to be cute for photos. So I'm like fixing my hair in the middle. And yeah, so that was at about midnight. And then I did have a birth pool that I bought from a friend that was used like a while ago. And I wanted the birth pool, but I wasn't sure. I just, you know, had it as an option. So they started filling it up and I wanted to wait until I like really needed it. So birth keeper came over.
How did you find her? Tell me about that setup.
Yeah, so after seeing Natalie's birth, she was part of the membership, and I was like, well,
the woman that you had.
Yes.
Gotcha.
No, Natalie is the one, the birth that I went to, the friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, let me connect you to the people in New Jersey. So I got connected to people in New Jersey, and then I joined the membership. And so I found her through there. And
you found her through the lighthouse?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to meet up with her and just see how it is. Because the real thing was like, my husband was like, who's going to clean it up? And I wanted like some womanly support, you know? So anyway, so I met up with her and our first meeting was going on a hike together with her dog, which was awesome. And yeah, she came over to my house a few times. Her and her husband brought over dinner for us a few times. I went to her yoga classes a few times and we just had a really good relationship and it was just nice to have someone to talk to. And she was totally like, yeah, you're gonna do this, you know? So yeah, we were totally aligned. So she came over and just kind of like, was like the calm, peaceful voice, the birth that like open your body, you know, that sort of thing. And my husband's like asking questions. He's like, what is that? How do we know when she's like really in it? How do we know when she's in transition? Cause you know, he's very logically minded. So we did all these birth education things and he was like very calculated. And she was like, it's okay. Just trust. So there was like all these two voices just in the background, but their conversations like went over my head. So then yeah, back to the birth. So I'm in the bathroom, she comes over, and at this point I can't open my eyes. Like when she walked in, like I couldn't look at her, I just couldn't open my eyes. And I was like trying to see how many contractions I could go until I'm like, okay, I want to get in the birth pool. So I think around like 2 a.m I got in the birth pool. And yeah, I was like leaning forward on the edge of the birth pool. And that was the only position that I could go through a contraction. I felt like once I started in that position, that was it. And then I would kind of lean back in between contractions. And actually a lot of women are like, I like the breaks, but I didn't really like the breaks because it just like made me anxious for the next contraction, you know, which was interesting. And the sensation started from like I really had to use the bathroom to like lower back pain. Like I could feel him moving down the birth canal. And then I felt like I had to push. So I didn't tell anyone. I just started pushing. And then eventually, like 30 minutes, 23, I don't know what the time was, but eventually into pushing, I'd tell them like, oh, I've been pushing, like the head is coming. And I checked myself, I could feel the head. And so, yeah, it was just crazy. Like there was actually no drama. Like I was joking. I was like, this is going to be so boring for Emily because this story is so undramatic. Like there's nothing, like it was just, it happened. Like I just birthed. And so, yeah, his head came out. He came out with, like, his hand up like this, like a nuchal hand. And no one told me that, which I'm glad because, you know, everyone was, like, my husband and the birth keeper, they were behind me. And I could just kind of hear them, like, whispering. And he's like, oh, blah, blah, the baby's over there. And, yeah, I was just bearing down, making super loud noises. Felt like it was impossible to get the head out. Like I was like, there's no way. But like once you're there, you gotta do it, you know? Like you gotta do it. I thought I was gonna have like this psychedelic experience, but that didn't happen for me. It was like I was focused. I was like, let's get this thing out. Like I'm ready. So once I felt his head, I was super motivated because, you know, in between the getting into the birth pool and before then, like I was like, I don't know how long this is gonna be, like I have no idea. And then the sensation changed to lower back and I was like, okay, I don't know how long this is gonna be. And then I felt the head and I was like, oh man, it's coming soon. So yeah, he was born around 5 a.m. so I was in the pool for like 3 hours, and I think so his head came out. And then I had the urge. I was so over it. Like, that took everything out of me to get his head out. Like, I had no, like, contractions coming. I just, like, had a second to breathe. And I was like, can I pull him out? And my birth keeper was like, no, wait for the next contraction. And I think I, like, reached down there and tried to, like, grab him. I don't know. I was just, like, ready. But it wasn't going to happen. And so I'm glad I didn't pursue that any further. And then the other thing that was super interesting is that I stayed in the water, which I'm glad I did, because if I would have come out, then his head was out, so he would have tried to breathe, and then I would have had to birth on land. So, yeah, his head, or his body came out, I think we looked back at the video, it was, like, 2 minutes after his head, so there was 2 minutes of me just, like, catching my breath, and then I, yeah, had to push. I didn't have fetal ejection reflex, I just had to push him out. And yeah, then he came out and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a boy. I did it. Wow. Like, this is crazy. And my husband's like, like, he was like sobbing. It was so funny. And then I think I tried to breastfeed him like immediately. I'm like, oh, you want boobie? Like, and then he's like, you know, just came into the world and I'm like shoving a boob in his face and he wasn't ready. But yeah, it was really funny because my whole pregnancy, I thought it was a girl. And then the night I went into labor, I had these two pair of pants. One of them is like a reddish pinkish and one of them is blue. And I put on my blue pants because I was like, I think this might be a boy. So that was interesting. But yeah, then once like I realized what was happening and kind of came back down into my body, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable. This placenta needs to get out of me like right now. So I think that was like in the span of like 5 minutes, I go and sit on the toilet and I hear like a plop and I was like, was that it? Like I didn't feel like much relief and I think it was just like a, you know, some other gunk. And then we're just like talking and then it just plops right out, crazy, into the toilet. So she grabs it from the toilet, I grab the baby, we all, you know, do the walk to the bedroom. And yeah, it was dark, it was 5 a.m no neighbors around, no people, no light. It was absolutely perfect. And I just got into the bed, got on the Chucks pads, and was just like, wow, I did it, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd nursing go?
It was good. My boobs were quite large, so it was like hard to navigate at first. Like I was like, I signed up for a baby, but I did not sign up for carrying these things. Oh. But yeah, he latched. We found out he had, or we noticed he had a tongue tie. So I think that was kind of restricting him in the beginning. We were like, oh, now do we go to the doctor to get the tongue time? We're like, you know, let's wait. And now it's not a problem at all. I think he just needed to adjust. But yeah, I mean, at first it was, he latched, but it was just painful for the first couple weeks. And I just had like a lot of milk. So he would like often choke and my letdown was like super powerful. So I had to navigate that. And yeah, now he's great. He's 15 and a half pounds at 3 months old, which is really big.
Love it. So how would you say that having the sovereign birth has changed you as a woman?
That's a good question. I mean, I just feel like I need to share my story more. Like, I feel like I was given this experience of just like not going to the doctor and having a fine birth, no drama, to be able to show people like, you don't have to wait until your second kid. You don't have to wait until, you know, you're traumatized the first time. You don't have to wait until you're older, more educated, whatever. Like, you can do it, you know, like you have to trust yourself and be intentional and do all the things. So I think it's just made me like, I'm very grateful to have this story to be able to share. And I just like want to tell people, you know, and it's really hard because you don't want to be in people's space. You kind of have to meet them where they are. And so, you know, one of my friends reached out to me because they're like, oh yeah, we read your story on Instagram. Like, I'm pregnant now. Like, how did you combat fatigue in the first trimester? Just like asking those questions. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, they have no idea. But I'm like, okay, well, you can't fight it. You have to surrender in the beginning, because if you can't surrender in the beginning, you're not going to surrender in the end, you know? So it's like, I have a much larger, like, I see the bigger picture now. So I'm able to like help women when they're focused on like these details. I'm like, that doesn't matter. Just, you know, like, you got to look at the big picture here.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah. It's been really cool too. Like, my husband's parents were pretty nervous about the home birth. And of course we told them, you know, we're going to have someone there, all this stuff. So it's been nice to like open their mind, because now they're like, oh my gosh, our grandchild, he's so calm. He's so attentive. He's so this, he's so that. And it's like, well, yeah, it's for a reason. You know, he's been with me since birth. Like, he had, you know, he's born into the world without fluorescent lights. And yeah, it's not luck.
I know, my mom does that too, where she's like, I can't believe, you know, when he's when she's with our second now, she's like, I can't believe you guys got another one like this. I'm like, Mom, it's not like a random lottery. Like,
yeah,
curated these children to be highly contented and adapted and, you know, healthy and intact. And it's funny.
Yeah. That was super interesting to me postpartum, because I immediately started having anxiety about having to do that again. like this one went so well. Like, what, you know, I have to do that again and it to go so well again. But, you know, now I've kind of worked through that. But immediately postpartum, like, and I also realized, like, birth is supposed to be hard, because then postpartum seems easier. Because I didn't think of postpartum, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to have a baby and I'm going to breastfeed. And like, I had no idea. I had no idea that, like, you know, well, one, my body just felt so weird. Like, my stomach was completely empty. It was like, I was just like a head and legs, and the middle was like all wonky. And so just like walking around the house, like going into my kitchen the first time, I was just like, what the hell is this? Like, I have no idea what this reality is anymore. You know, just trying to process that. And like, you know, I'm leaking everywhere, leaking out of my boobs, leaking out of my eyes, leaking out, you know, like bleeding everywhere. And, you know, visitors coming over and they're like wanting to see the baby. And you're just like, I can't right now, you know, like. And it's just, yeah, it's crazy. I had no idea that postpartum was going to be like that. Realizing that, like, I wasn't going to be able to just spend time with my husband whenever anymore. Like, he was like, you have a new boyfriend. Like, we had this whole, like, emotional thing. And, yeah, there's just, like, so much to work through. And it all happens like this. It's crazy. But then, like, 3 months postpartum, I'm like, okay, I feel more normal. You know?
3 months is usually a good turning point.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Yeah, and like in the beginning, you know, you're just so out of it. Like I was looking back at photos and I was using a burp cloth as a blanket for the first like several weeks just because my brain was so, you know, I had all this stuff to process. Yeah, I was using a burp cloth as a blanket.
I don't think
putting him to
weird.
Bed with a little burp cloth. I was, but I like the thing is, I had like 40 blankets.
Of
that
course,
people gave me. Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I just thought it was funny. Like you don't realize how out of it you are,
or like another way of saying it is how in it you are. You
true,
know? Like you're in your primal. You know, like what blanket goes on your baby doesn't matter at all when you're that
right.
in it. You know. It feels like you're not with it because you're used to being very controlled and composed and measured. And it's not really like that in postpartum. Like you said, you're leaking, you're bleeding, you're crying, you're like so fucking raw. But
yeah,
that's the jam. Like that's when you're like going from the caterpillar to the butterfly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it just blows my mind that like every woman that's a mother doesn't just want to like talk about her birth and like that experience. Like it's like no one talks about it. Like,
well,
I'm, like
most of them are not. That's like at wondering, you know, why women don't want to talk about their rapes, you know? It's
right.
Like, they're not walking around with euphoric, beautiful, simple stories like you are, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's very complicated for... You know, and at that same time, I do think women want to talk about it even when it is traumatic. I mean, I just am a freaking magnet for it, whether I am in the mood or not. You know, like I was on a flight somewhat recently and this woman was like late 70s and I did not tell her anything about my work. And she just started like telling me about her traumatic births back in the whatever it would have been, the 70s or something. 60s?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was like, damn, she's probably never had anyone hear her, you know?
Yeah.
And then the real, like, the real move, you know, for us being aware of this is to, you know, create relationships and friendships and community that can hold all of it, that can hold the pain and can hold the traumatic stories and can hold these kind of stories, and that they're not sitting in any sort of, you know, power dynamic, so that welcome. And when that can get done, you see a lot of healing and a lot of growth happen in a community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One thing is like just all moms now, I'm just like, well, you gave birth no matter how it was, like that's crazy, you know? So I feel like I have this like bond with other moms that I didn't expect to have. I'm like, oh, I'm only gonna bond with like crunchy moms, but it's like, no, any mom, like that's like you give birth, you grow human, you give birth, that's wild. Yeah,
beautiful. Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, if you want to look at any more of my birth, pregnancy, postpartum experience, I'm on Instagram at the Olive Oil Queen. Yeah, I kind of used it as like a postpartum diary, which people appreciated more than I realized. So yeah,
awesome. Thanks, girlfriend. Nice to connect.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the Living Revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention, death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars.